Greet you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Matters not where you've been, what you've done. You fall on your face before the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and godly sorrow. Jesus saves. Call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus saves. I want to begin this morning by a bit of a testimony. This is holy ground for my wife and I. It's approximately 20 years ago, about 20 years and 2 to 3 weeks ago, I came here as a religious Mennonite boy, searching, seeking, caught in materialism, and caught in seeking reputation and many things. Why did I come to the Gospel Express tent meetings in July of 1987. I love music. I love to play and sing guitar. And as many of you know, the Koblenz family sang and played guitar and such forth. And so I thought, you know, I'll come and listen to the music, you know. And when the preaching, you know, well, you know, I've endured it many more times than I can do it another time. Well, hallelujah. That evening, as the gospel was preached after the singing, God arrested my heart. Hallelujah. God caught my heart. And I realized that I was not born again. I realized I was not a Christian. I had never surrendered my life. I had never given Him all. And that was on Sunday night, the first night. It was right here on this ground. Hallelujah. This is holy ground. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. It was the third night. It was the third night. I think it was Tuesday night. I said, Lord, I went to the altar. And I responded, I said, God, if You'll just save my soul, that I can lay my head on a pillow at night, and that I know, that I know, that I know, that I have Jesus Christ in my heart. I'll give You everything. I've often used the blank contract illustration. It's just like it seemed to me that God said, just sign right here. You know, it was blank. You probably all heard that illustration, but that's exactly how it was. I said, God, Lord Jesus, if You'll just save my soul, I'll sign that contract. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it'll, where it'll take me. I don't care what men say. Now, please understand me correctly when I'm... You see, a lot of my friends were there. A lot of my church people were there. And everything looked right on the outside, but there was nothing on the inside. And I surrendered my life that night. And it was life-changing. Right here on this ground. What a joy. What a privilege. What a blessing. I thank God to come back to the same ground and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we went home that night, my wife and I, and this papa, I think our oldest daughter was about 12 or 13, and our youngest one wasn't even born yet. For the first time, I opened the Scripture. And I said, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to have devotions, but, you know, God was there. Jesus Christ was there, gave me direction. I went down in the basement. I don't know, there was some old wine and some alcoholic stuff down in the basement in the old farmhouse. I don't know why it was there. Not that we had an alcohol problem. But I took all that trash, all that garbage, and there was a ground floor, you know. It didn't have any drain in it, but I took that old stuff, and I said, this stuff isn't going to be in our house. And I pulled there a little hole in the ground there. I just started pouring that stuff in. After a bit, the whole base smelled like a brewery. Oh, basement smelled like a brewery, and the whole house did. Not in our house. No, 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 no. House cleansed. We got all that country music, all that trash, that bluegrass trash, and we went outside and we had a bonfire, you know, an axe bonfire. It's burned all that stuff. Hallelujah. God is able. God is able, my friend. Here tonight, maybe this morning message that Brother Emmanuel brought, God spoke to your heart. And you have needs in your life. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above that which we even ask or think, according to His power that works in us. I thank God for the opportunity to come back to this place 20 years later and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. Rejoice with me. Thank You, Jesus. Well, that's not the subject that was assigned to me. Subject that was assigned to me was shining our light to the world. Shining our light to the world. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I think we're all familiar with this portion of Scripture. If we're Bible readers, we know this as the Sermon on the Mount. Very familiar Scripture. For the sake of time, I think I'm just going to drop into verse 13 of Matthew chapter 5. And I'll say a little more as we come more towards the last point. I'll be back to this text. But in laying a foundation in the light of God desires that you and I would shine our light to the world. Verse 13. And this is after, let me just say this, this is after the beautiful heart postures of the kingdom entrance, the kingdom of God, where Jesus Christ is the King and He has domain, He rules, He is Lord. God says these words, if we have these heart postures, we're blessed. More on that later. In verse 13, after the kingdom entrance, God reveals His heart why He saves you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who art in heaven. I know you just stood for prayer, but could we stand one more time? You've been sitting a while. Let's pray. Oh God, come to You in Jesus' name. God, I pray that You would speak to our hearts this morning. We heard a lot about darkness this morning. God, I pray that You would light a candle in our hearts, Lord. The light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Why we're here, to let our light so shine before men, that men everywhere would see our good works in Jesus Christ. And they too would come to the light, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and be saved. God, I pray that You would quicken the Word to our hearts. Father, I pray that You would open our hearts, as we already heard, to Your call upon our lives. We lift our spiritual cups to You. We want to hear from heaven, Lord. We want to hear Your heart. God, take Your seat among us. Stand with Your servant in the pulpit of God. Wash me in the blood. And Father, may we see and hear Your heart this morning, that we could truly be the church of Jesus Christ, like a city on a hill with its light on, driving back the darkness of this world. Come and speak to our hearts. We just give it to You, Lord. Fill me with Your Spirit. Put Your hand upon me and have Your way. And Lord, we pray for each listening heart, Lord, that we would receive Your words, Your truth, and change us, Lord. Not just challenge, Lord, but we'd be changed. We'd go forth here with revival fires burning in our soul, that our light would be burning brightly with no part dark. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I want to begin here this morning by qualifying the light. You know, lest we have a misunderstanding of what this true light is. I really believe this is foundational where I must begin. Our light. Shining our light. What is our light? Turn to St. John. Could go to 1 John as well. As we go into the first point here this morning. John 1. Here we have a beautiful revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. With God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You ought to underline that in your Bible. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to him gave power, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And we could just go right on, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let me read that again. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh that dwelt among us and beheld His glory. We beheld His glory and the glory of the only begotten, the Father, full of grace and truth. Who's this speaking about? Jesus Christ, who is the light and life of men. Jesus. Jesus Christ. Now, we see here in John 1, great revelation of Christ. Yes, He is eternal. He is from eternity past, present, and future. Jesus Christ is also the Creator God from the beginning. And the Scripture is clear that by Him all things exist. And then the third point that I want is Jesus Christ is life. And His life is the light of men. Now, John, the same apostle, wrote in 1 John, you can go there if you want to, but we'll be back here in John 1. He said it this way. As we Bible readers would know, I'm not going to read all of this, but in verse 1, here's how he began this. And this was the last book that John wrote. If I have my history correct, he was approximately 90 years old. He's walked with the Lord Jesus Christ for many years now, with when he was on the earth as flesh. But now Christ has ascended. If I have my data right, he has walked with Jesus by faith for 60 years. And this is what he says, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we look upon, and our hands have handled, he has experienced, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of life. Folks, my first point here this morning is that the person, the life of the person, not just a book, not just a theology, not just a doctrine, the life of the person, the living, eternal Lord Jesus Christ is the light of men. His life is the light of men. Let me say this. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. The source of all light is God. In the beginning, if you go back to the book of Genesis, there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Scripture says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. All light comes from God. For God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, the God of heaven is the source of all light, but folks, His dear Son, the life of His dear Son, just as it says here in verse 4, in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, was life. And the life, His life, is the light of all men. The light of men. So, God is light. But if you and I are going to be illuminated, as our brother was speaking about, we need the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our lives. For He is the light of men. Outside of the light of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in darkness. Amen? We're in darkness. You can have a lot of religiosity. You can keep all the creeds and rules and regulations that your church may have in your life or in your midst. But if you don't have the life of the Lord Jesus Christ quickening your heart, making you alive in Him, you're in darkness. You're in darkness. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That's John 8. Right after He ministered to the adulterous woman, and He did not condemn her, but He forgave her. He said, I am the light of the world. He brought light to her. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Folks, the light that you and I are asked to shine unto the world is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Let's go to Isaiah 60. Prophetic scripture here. I love this scripture. Of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Arise. I'm in Isaiah 60 verse 1. I'm going to keep moving along here. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and we know it has and does, and gross darkness, the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Then verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Prophetic scripture, I believe, of God the Father speaking to his Son. Maybe, I don't know, I'm open to correction if you see it differently. He says, thy light is come, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now listen, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you have repented, and you have an intimate personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he lives in you. Can this scripture apply to you? Absolutely. Whether it's God speaking to his Son in him coming and bringing light in gross darkness, or whether it's Christ in you, it's still Christ is the light and life of men. It says, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. You see this, the light of God, the light of Christ, more times than not, is associated with his glory. And you know, this thing of God's glory, back in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus commanded that we are to let our light so shine that they see our good works and they too will glorify our Father which is in heaven. What is the glory of God? It's associated with his light. The glory of God, I like to suggest to you, is the outshining glow as a light of his excellent character, the beauty of his holiness, the glory of his righteousness, the glory of his light. And when you have Christ in your life, then your life should glow for Jesus Christ, because he is your life and he's the light of men. And it says the glory of the light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So it's the outshining of the inshining of the glory of Jesus Christ. Listen, what God occupies, he will make like himself. Amen? I see that very clearly here. But I see something more here. That glory light, the glory light, is going to drive back the darkness that covers the earth. The Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Is the glory of the light of the life of Jesus Christ on your countenance right now? Someone I said, you know, we ought, if it really is, we ought to notify our face, you know. Some of you got it. If the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is an outshining light of his presence, notify your face and let the joy of the Lord. You know, you've got an advantage position up here, you know. Amen. Praise the Lord. But look at what he says in verse 3. Back in Matthew chapter 5, God commands us, Jesus Christ commands us to let our light so shine. Here he promises us, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. It's not in vain that we shine our light unto the world. God has promised the heathen, the unsaved, the ungodly, the Gentiles, those that are outside of the glory of God, they're going to come to the light of Christ. And if you got Christ in your heart, they're going to come to you for light as they are exposed and realize that they live in gross darkness. Folks, what a promise that we don't just shine our light into the darkness of this world in vain. God has promised they'll come. Now, there's many more scriptures we could look at. This is not my message, but I just want to drive that home. This is an exceeding precious promise, dearly beloved, to the, what is it, approximately 2.5 billion, 39% of the people in the world who have yet to hear about the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time. God says they're going to come. Are you going to be an instrument and a vessel to take the light to them? Some of those people may be right in your city, right in your village, right in your home, right in your family, right in your community. They're going to come. You know, our brother Emmanuel was talking about believing the Scripture. Somebody has said, you know, the unsaved don't reject the gospel. They reject it how it's packaged. Think that through. Sometimes we got our gospel packaged. God has promised they're going to come to the light of Christ, even kings. It stretches our theology a little bit, doesn't it? God has promised. Let's go back to 1 John. John chapter 1. Not where we started. Verse 4. Jesus Christ is the life. And the life of Christ is the light of men. When you and I get right with God, repent of our sins, turn away from sin, confess our sin, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of men, Jesus Christ, comes into your heart and He illuminates your heart with life. Life. Eternal life. Life that has purpose. Life that has meaning. Eternity begun in my soul today. And my life has new meaning. My life has new purpose. My life has new values. A life that makes sense into eternity for all of eternity. A life that glorifies God. He brings life eternal into your soul, into your heart, into your life. And your life becomes a vessel, an instrument of His life. And that life of Christ is the light that we're talking about here this morning. Jesus Christ becomes the light of your life. As you walk in newness of life with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, His likeness, His image, His glory begins to radiate from you as He takes you deeper and as you gaze upon His face and you're changed from glory to glory. His light becomes brighter and brighter and it begins to shine unto the darkness in the world around us. Your life is literally a life of Christ. Like Paul said, what did he say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? I'm just going to grab that real quick here. You don't need to turn there. Here's what he said. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Whose life is it as we die to self and die to our agenda and die to our goals and die to all of that which we were so much intending to do? His life becomes our light. The person of Christ. Your life is a light unto the dark world around us. Take away the life and the light of Christ. And knowing Him and walking with Him, we walk in darkness. Let me ask you a question here. Is your life Christ? Is your life Christ? In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Is the person of Jesus Christ the light of your life? We need to come to the grips with the fact that an intimate, personal, vitally connected relationship with the person is with the person of Christ. Folks, the Word of God, as precious as it is, as a treasure as it is, we press through the Word of God, folks, to an intimate personal relationship with the author of the book, Jesus Christ. Is He your life? Is your heart full of the light and life of Christ? Much could be said here, and I'm going to be spending a lot of time on this point. Because you see, it's far easier to just do a bunch of ritualistic stuff, if you would. Read my Bible a little bit. Say a little bit of prayer. Do what the church says. Do what the pastor says. Don't do what he says. Don't do this. Don't go there. But not really know Christ, the light and life of men. It's far easier to do those things. Believe me, brothers and sisters, I walked that way many years. When I walked the altar that night, everybody would have said, well, he's all right. Look at him, plain suit and all that right stuff. does the creed of the church. He does all that stuff. But you know what? There was nothing on the inside. It was just dead letter. It brought no life to me. There was no quickening of my spirit. My heart was not full of the person of Jesus Christ. I was full of religion, doing what I knew I needed to do in the absence of having an intimate, personal relationship with the life of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you really know Him? Do you have an intimate relationship with the blessed Lord Jesus, the sweetest name among men, dearly beloved? The blessed Lord Jesus, that name that is above every name, that name that every knee is going to bow someday, every tongue is going to confess that He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Do you know Him? See, the gospel is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the gospel. Do you have an intimate relationship with Him? If we don't know Him in an intimate personal relationship, as the branch knows the vine, where His life is flowing into your life, there's an intimate connection. His glory, His grace, His goodness, His love, His mercy, it's just flowing through the connection into my life. And that is the light. People are going to see. Oh, dearly beloved, what a Savior is Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the one, dearly beloved, that is the light of men. And I know we know this. I know that. But let me ask you a question. Is it an experience? As you lay your head on a pillow at night, is He the last thoughts of your mind? Speaking to Him. As David said, in the night seasons, He meditates on Him. You get awake in the night. What are the thought processes of your mind? Do you really know Him? And as you wake up in the morning, good morning, Lord. Maybe you're one of those that says, oh Lord, it's morning. Good morning, Lord. What do you have today? Hallelujah. Today I'm going to walk as a spiritual-minded man, and I'm not going to be carnally-minded, which is death, spiritually-minded. Romans tells us His life and peace, His life. Connected to Him. Do you know Him? You see, that's the light. It's the life of Christ. So many people, so many churches, they have His name in their doctrine. You know, they know about Him. But they don't experience Him. He's the light and life of all men. Just like last week, I had a week of tent meetings out in a city in York. And a young man came to me and he said, Brother, he said, my Christian life is dead. It's dry. It's empty. There's no river flowing from my belly. My heart is barren. My heart is dry. My heart is empty. My devotions are dry. The Word of God is dry. He said, my life is dry. There's no energy. There's no passion. There's no vitality. There's no light. He said, there's nothing on the inside. He was a church leader. I tell you, he was doing all the things that the church was asking him to do. But there was no life and the light of the person of Christ in his soul. Paul said it this way, for me to live is Christ. What about you? What about you, my friend? When people mention your name, oh, Brother Raymond. Oh, I know him. He loves to be a dairy farmer. Oh, I know her. Put in there what you want. Do they know you as Christ? Did I get a little testimony just this week? Brother came into the place up where I work and he said, oh, come in there. All right, Raymond. He said, what's up? Well, what do you say? What do you say? Well, God gave me the grace to let the life of Christ begin to flow. I said, Jesus Christ is up. And I love Him with all my heart. And I'm serving Him. And I want to do His will. You know what he said? I wouldn't have expected anything else from you, he said. Give God the glory. Give God the glory. It's the way it is. What for opportunity do you take when you have the chance to speak? Do you let the light shine? Or is your life something else? And that's what people know you by. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. Christ was his life. Paul was that light and the life of Jesus Christ shining forth and touching many people's lives. You see, Jesus Christ is the light and the life of men. You know, He is that overflowing fountain. He is that energizing life that puts life to everything we do. Yes, when we read the Scripture. Yes, when we obey what the what God's Word wants us to, He puts life in it. It's not a dead letter. The Spirit quickeneth. It's alive. He energizes. He empowers. And many times we as God's people do the same things that the other people are doing in religiosity. But the difference is we do it with the life of Christ. There's power there. There's grace there. There's love there. There's an energizing there. There's a passion there. There's life there. It's not dead. You know, sometimes as I answer the phone, some people talk to me. And first of all, I have to ask them to talk a little louder. They sound like they're dead, you know, and I can't hardly hear what they're saying. And I finally get to hear what they're saying, and I understand what they want to order and at the place I work. And, you know, after they're all said and done, I put down the phone and say, "Oh, I think I'm going to go take a nap." Dead. Dead. No life. No passion. No enthusiasm. Christ is life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He puts power behind your light when you're connected to Him. Much could be said. Much could be said. You see, God knows our tendencies. He knows it's much easier to keep a creed and a system of beliefs, and we begin to think that when we do all these good works, that's our light. Our own good works are as filthy rags. Our own righteousness as filthy rags. If it's not the life of Christ doing His work, it's not the light. It's not the light. You know, our sacrifices of whatever you may be sacrificing, your sacrifice of praise, your sacrifice of prayer, if it's not because of the life of Christ, it's empty. You know, I can understand when Isaiah 64 tells us that our own works of righteousness are as filthy rags. I can understand if He would say our own sin. But He doesn't. He says our own works of righteousness are as filthy rags. There's no life. It's dead. And there's no light. It's darkness if it's not done in the light and the life of the person of Jesus Christ. Our good deeds, and on I could go. Giving aid and helping to those that are devastated by the tsunami, a hurricane, a flood. Listen, those things are good and they're right. But listen, if it's not done out of an overflowing heart of the light and the life of the person of Jesus Christ, they're good works. And a lot of times, we get the cart ahead of the horse. And we begin to think that if I do these things, then maybe I can earn a few brownie points with God, you know. Earn a little favor. No. God will never love you any less than He already loves you. He has paid the price in full on the cross of Calvary. He wants your all. He wants your life. And He wants to empower that empty vessel with His light and His power and His life and His glory. And then we do the same things, but it's done with life. There's a light that shines forth. And people see the person and the life of Christ. Granted, I don't want to speak negative of those things. We do but do them. But we do them because we're saved in letting the light and the life of Christ come forth. So easy, dearly beloved, to have all the correct doctrine. You know, I don't do this and I don't do that. And I don't go here and I don't defile myself with this. And I'm not into this witchcraft and sorcery and necromancer and all that stuff. I'm not into that kind of stuff. But let me ask you a question. Is your life Christ? Is He what your life is all about? Do you know Him in an intimate personal relationship with Him? When you sit down and you have an opportunity to pick up something and read. You know, when I got saved, we left all our subscriptions of all them farm journals and successful farmings and all the newspaper. We left them all run out to get into the Word. You see, if you would have came to my house right after I got saved, that beautiful Tuesday evening where I met the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'd have said, "Mr. Burkholder, would you turn to Matthew chapter 1 or Matthew chapter 5? You know what I'd have done? I'd have went like this. I had no idea. You see, we didn't do those things in our home. We didn't have Bible reading. We didn't have audible prayer. None of that stuff. Listen, where are you drinking? I left all that stuff run out, my wife and I did, to get into the Word. To learn about Jesus, His heart and His will. Where are you drinking? Is He your life? What flows from your river inside? I need to move on. We need to come to grips with the fact that Jesus Christ is the life and the life and light of man. And in Him is no darkness at all. That's my second point. In Him is no darkness at all. Verse 5. The light, I'm still in John 1, verse 5. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light and the life of Christ shines into the darkness, and the Bible says the darkness comprehended it not. This word comprehend means extinguish. And here we get the first clue of what this light really is. You know, we tend to think of a light and we think of these light bulbs here, and I'll get a little more on this later, and we tend to think that's the kind of light that Jesus is speaking about. Well, not so. The Bible tells us that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish, or the darkness cannot stop the light from penetrating the darkness. Now, I get excited about that. I told Brother Emmanuel, I think it sort of put him on a tailspin a little bit before the service here this morning. I said, vain do we curse the darkness. Light a candle. Think about it. Now, I believe there's a right place in what Brother Emmanuel did this morning. Amen, Brother Emmanuel. God bless you. Amen. We need to unveil and reveal the darkness. But listen, when the light comes, the darkness cannot stop the light. Hallelujah. You see, darkness is nothing more than the absence of the light. You take away the light, and what do you got? Darkness. When the light comes, what happens to the darkness? It cannot be extinguished. The light will always drive away the darkness. Now think about it, my dear friend. Jesus Christ is the light and the life of the world. He's the light and the life of the believer. And when the light comes, the darkness must flee. Light a candle, my friend. Light the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And you just watch the darkness flee. Bible says so. Bible says so. But you see, from the very beginning, back in Genesis, dearly beloved, come with me back to creation. From the very beginning, God separated the light from the darkness. Amen? They don't coexist together. They don't coexist together. When the light comes, the darkness must flee. And I know what we all know. Light is Jesus Christ, and darkness are the deeds of evil and the work of Satan, as we heard this morning. But the light of the glorious gospel of the person of Jesus Christ, the light, the darkness cannot comprehend or extinguish the light. I like the way that John says it in 1 John. I'm going to go there. I want to bring it home personal now. And I'm in my second point. We have no light, even if we name the name of Christ, and we have darkness in our lives. As our brother Emmanuel shared this morning. And by the way, let me give a little testimony to that. I remember when I discovered that one of my church leaders laid his hands on me, was in a water witcher. Broke my heart. I remember my wife and I got behind. He has repented of this now, praise God. My wife went down and we got home. We got down beside our bed and we begged God for mercy. And we pled the blood of Jesus. And we renounced that transmission of power. When there's that connection of those that are in those things and they touch you. I remember my own brother when the water witcher came to our farm. You know, my dad, he was, you know, he didn't understand. And the water witcher, he was so proud of the way that he was witching the water. I mean, the name is a dead giveaway. He's a witch, you know. And my older brother, he said, you know, I wonder if I could do that. And he took the old hickory stick, you know, the old Y stick, and he walked right over where the old witch had walked, and nothing happened. Here, he said, young man, here, watch this. And he put his hand upon him. He put his hand upon him. And then my brother walked. What do you think happened? boom, that old hickory stick went boom, right down. Transmission of power by association and laying on of hands. I don't know if you covered that or not, Emmanuel. I think you did. It needs to be renounced. When I discovered that there was one that had done those things, this was not the same man, had laid hands on me. We renounced that thing. We renounced that thing in the name and the blood of Jesus. So there would be no hook in my life. When God wants to take me deeper, He wants to take me further. He wants to take me where I've never been before in His work and His glory. You know, that's when that old devil's going to just take that old hook and it's just going to pull you back and keep you from the victory. Renounce it. Darkness. Darkness. John says here in John, 1 John, he says, as he gives a very similar testimony as in St. John 1, the Apostle John. And these things, let me just go back up to verse 3. Well, I read verse 1. Let me get verse 2. For the life was manifested, we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, Jesus Christ, I'm adding there, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard and declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And then he goes on and he says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, the God of light through Jesus Christ, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ. His Son cleanses us from all sin. And I could keep right on going here in this beautiful portion of Scripture. But the point is, if we're going to have a light to shine, we must deal with the darkness in our hearts and in our lives. Let's go to John 3. John 3. Back to St. John. We're just going back and forth here with the Apostle John. John 3. Very beautiful portion of Scripture which we all know. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, the light and life of man, has come. God gave His Son. As Jesus Christ is there on the cross of Calvary, God laid upon Him the sin of us all. And He who knew no sin became our sin. And the wages of sin, which is death, Jesus Christ paid on the cross of Calvary. As He there has taken the sin of the world upon Himself. Your sin, my sin, all sin of the world. And Jesus Christ dies paying in full the wages of sin, which is death. Hallelujah, it's paid for this morning. Amen. Your sin is paid for, my friend. That darkness in your life, it's paid for. It was laid upon Jesus Christ, and He paid for it. He was buried. He rose again. And He lives evermore today as our Redeemer, our salvation, and whereby there's no other name whereby men can be saved. Jesus Christ, and since He lives, you and I can live. His life is our life. Let's go on. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Well, what then is the condemnation of the world? It's in verse 19, and I'd love to spend some time here in verse 18 along with Emmanuel. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth is not condemned already. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he that hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Believing. Maybe I ought to just take the time and do this. Believing. What does it mean to believe? How many of you ever heard of the Charles Blunden illustration of the Niagara Falls? Okay, I figured there'd be a whole lot more. Yeah, Brother Lee heard it. Charles Blunden was a tightrope walker many years ago who strung a cable across a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. You can go up there to the museum and you can see the wheelbarrow and his stick here yet today. And he put it in the newspapers, radios, television, everywhere, that he's going to walk across the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And so many people came that day to see this fool, if you would. And so he got up there on his table. You know, I don't really know how they do all this stuff. But he got up there just before he began his journey across the Niagara Falls. He asked people, how many believe that he could do this? Well, they all screamed and hollered, we believe. That's how many people believe today. Has no effect on their lives. We believe. Well, of course, he was able to do that. He walked across the Niagara Falls and he got to the other side. And again, he asked, how many of you believe that I can take a wheelbarrow? And he sort of put it in his vest here, sort of like, and still had his stick. And I can again go across the Niagara Falls pushing a wheelbarrow. Again, the crowd shouted and hollered, we believe. He did it again, came to the other side. Now I said, how many of you believe that I can walk across that tightrope one more time with the wheelbarrow with a man inside? And they all shouted, we believe. Volunteer, please. There was none. Let me ask you a question. Did they believe? You see, this is the problem with believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. A head knowledge with no heart doing, no heart change, no heart reality. Just like those people, they believed he could do it, but let me out of it. I'm not willing to pay the price. I'm not willing to go there. I'm not willing to pay the cost. Not me. You see, that's how many people believe. Just a head of agreement and a head of knowledge assent. God is saying here our believing must have shoes on it. Must change us. It must be a reality. We must be willing to pay the price. We must be willing to go all the way. We must forsake all to follow Him to be made a fisher of men, the light of the world. If you would. Let's go on. And this is the condemnation. Jesus Christ didn't come in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But there is a condemnation. And here's the condemnation, verse 19. This is the condemnation that light is come into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Have you brought all the deeds of hidden darkness to the light? You see, I see what Brother Daniel was speaking about here on Friday night. Honesty. Opening your heart. Transparency. Just getting totally honest with God. Do you have some hidden skeletons of darkness hanging in your closets that you have not brought out and brought them to the light in confession and repentance? Things that are light, that are hidden deeds of darkness. I can spend a lot of time here. You see, men's deeds are evil. They don't want to bring them to the light. Men love darkness rather than the light. I trust I'm not speaking to a people like that. But you know, there may be some among us. You know, we lived in the Caribbean, and there was the cockroach. And cockroaches are creatures of darkness. They're in the cabinet, you know, and they're there, you know, and they're working in the darkness. And then you open the cabinet door, and the light comes in, and all you see is a little bit of the tail of the old cockroach. Get back into the darkness. Because he loves the darkness. You know, men can be that way. We're creatures that do not want to expose the darkness of our hearts and the deeds that are evil. Listen, if we have not brought all the deeds of darkness of yesteryear, there's still darkness in our life. Guess what? Our light and the life of Christ will not shine forth. Amen? Amen. It won't. There's darkness there. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. I love the way the Lord Jesus says it here. In Matthew chapter 6, He's talking about where we ought to lay up our treasures. And then He says, for where, verse 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Find your treasure, that which is your life, and you'll catch up with your heart. Then He goes on and says in verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Just as the mouth is a window, what's in your heart, as Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Listen to your tongue. Listen to your mouth. When you get an opportunity to institute or instigate a subject, what do you bring? That's the abundance of your heart, more times than not. Your tongue is a window, what's into your heart. Likewise, your eye is an avenue or a means of what your body is made of. Okay? Are you with me? But if thine eye be, if the light of the body is the eye, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole shotted body shall be full of light. Now here's the picture. The eye. What are you focusing on? What is your life all about? The eye is the eye gate of what goes into your heart and your soul and your mind. What you're focusing on, what you're watching, and what your treasure is. If that treasure is that priceless pearl, the jewel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and your eye is focused on Him singly, that becomes the means of your whole life becoming filled with the light of the life of the person when you're focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. He is the life and the light of men. And your eye is focused on Him as your treasure. Then your whole body, your whole life is light. That's God's heart. But, we got a junction word here that says, but, if that eye be evil, anything that's not single, oh yeah, you profess to be a Christian and you profess to walk with Jesus and you profess to have the light and the life of Christ. But your eye is not single. Right alongside of that profession, you have something else that's very important to you. Maybe you pursue it and spend more time with that. If people would ask you what you're about, they'd say, that's what that man's about. That's what I hear him talking about. That's what I see him spending his time in. It's not single, it's double, or it's multiple. Then look what he goes on to say. Thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Staggering! Staggering, dearly beloved! Sobering! That which, if we have another thing that we're focusing on as a treasure, and our life and light is not Christ, or we say it is, but then that which we thought is light is darkness. But that's not all. How great, the Bible goes on to say, is that dark? I think one of the greatest darkness among our people that our brother Manuel was talking about. Here's another one. Oh, we say we love the Lord, but really there's another devotion in our heart. There is another allegiance in our heart that our eye focuses on. Jesus says, if that's the way it is, the very light that we think we have is darkness. Deceived. Deceived. Challenging. Do I have hidden works of darkness in my life? Bring them to the altar so that the light can shine. The light of Christ. And I see my time is up and I'm only getting to the main point. The main point. You see, all that was just groundwork. In laying down a foundation of the life of Christ as the light. And these things can stand in the way. We have a part dark heart. I think it was Matthew. No, I think it's which one of the writers? I think it's Luke that talks about if thine whole body there be full of light, having no part dark. You know what? We can have dark rooms in our heart, have not been brought to the light. Let's bring them to the light so that we can have the glorious light of the gospel, the life of Christ radiating from our life. Now let's go back to Matthew 5. Third point. So the first one was, Jesus Christ is the light and life of men. The second one was simply, if there's darkness in our lives, the light won't shine. God is light, and in Him, no darkness at all. May we walk that way. No known darkness. And as God speaks into our hearts and lives, that we repent quickly and we deal with that thing. We don't deny it. We get honest and we bring those deeds of darkness to the light. Shining the light of Christ into the world. Back to Matthew 5. Now that all that has been laid, as we consider the Sermon on the Mount, which are the kingdom key entrance, this word blessed means much more than happy. I must bring this home. This word blessed here in the kingdom key entrances of the posture of the heart literally means special favor with God. Ich bin on Deutsch, I kann on Deutsch sprechen. The word, how many understood that? Okay, good. The word, the German word for this word, blessed, is far better than our English interpretation. It means much more than happy. It means saved. The German word is selig. It means saved. Saved is the man that has a What does it say? Blessed or saved is the man that is poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Saved are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. These are the kingdom entrance heart postures that God honors in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you come to verse 11. Blessed are they when men shall revile you and persecute you with nations, all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. When you are persecuted for doing right, rejoice rather than lose your savor of righteousness. He saved you to be salt even when the persecution comes. God goes on, Jesus goes on and tells us here that if we don't have redeeming influence, if our light isn't shining as salt and light, He says, I saved you to be light for me. I saved you to be salt for me. And if you're not going to be that salt and light, darkness, not willing to repent, not willing to go all the way with the Lord, Jesus says, you're good for nothing. That is staggering. You know, we don't preach salvation that way. We make a general, typical evangelistic plea. It goes like this. Horrible hell over here. I mean, fire and torment and everlasting punishment. And we say there's a glorious heaven over here. You know, there's the God of heaven and His love and His goodness. Why wouldn't you repent of your sins and turn away from evil and darkness and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved? What's wrong with that? It's about me. It's all about me. It's all about what's in it for me. So many people today, that's why the light doesn't shine the way it ought to. That's why our mission programs many times are not prospering and we're not successful the way that God would have us be. We accept Christ, we put Him in our back pocket and we use Him as power for our program. Lord, help us. I don't preach salvation that way anymore. I really don't. I don't preach hell messages. I do, but I don't preach them in salvation in that way. Because all that people do then is they call upon the name of the Lord, put a little fire escape in their pocket, and they use Him as power for their program to do what they want to do, the pleasure they want to live, and the places they want to go. Jesus saved you to be salt and light for Him. He goes on to say, and you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The light of the world. A city. I think there's three glory pinnacles that Jesus is referring to here. Three great glory pinnacles for God. Number one was when Solomon built the temple. Jerusalem. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel that Jerusalem is in the midst of the nations and in the midst of the countries around them. Jerusalem is a city on a hill. When Solomon built the temple and they prayed, they sacrificed and they prayed, and the glory of God, the glory light came down and it shone all to the known world and nations of that day. It was a city on a hill that could not be hid. The Queen of Sheba, she came from Ethiopia. She said, Solomon, the half hasn't been told. The Bible says there was no spirit in her. And the Bible tells us that all the kings of the earth, they came to Jerusalem because God had a glory light there. I think that's what Jesus is speaking about here. A city on a hill with His lights on. Folks, today it's the church. The second glory pinnacle was after Israel was down in captivity. 70 years. God had to do it. The idolatry and the evil in their heart. But you know what? After 70 years, they came back to Israel. They came back to Jerusalem. I'm rushing along here. But you know what? When they came back to Jerusalem, they rebuilt the temple. Nehemiah, under Nehemiah's leadership, they rebuilt the wall. They reestablished temple worship. But when Ezra the Nehemiah, already scribing the law, came, the people had defiled themselves, the holy seed. He had such a mourning of repentance over a godly sorrow, you may say, over the way that people of God had defiled the holy seed. The people caught His heart of repentance. They mourned. And they turned away from their heathen wives. Marriages were split. Homes were broken up. But you know what God was doing? He was taking the darkness out of Israel. He was taking the darkness out of Israel. And you know, we come to the end of the Old Testament. And you'll find that Israel once again is back in Jerusalem, a city on a hill. The darkness has been purged. They've been delivered from idolatry. And once again, God has a light in Jerusalem, a city on a hill, and its light is on. The third one, Acts chapter 2, the early church. Jesus Christ told them to go in the upper room and wait in the upper room for the waiting of the Comforter. And the Bible tells us that when the Comforter did come, He blew into the upper room with cloven tongues of what? Fire! Fire! You see, when Jesus says here, I forgot to say this, I got to say it. Jesus says here, you're the light of the world. When we think of a light, we think of a little current going through, you know, and a light. But you know that word light can be translated a fire. Jesus was speaking about being on fire for Him. And there was the early church. There they were in the upper room. And the Comforter came upon them with cloven tongues of fire. And they were on fire for Jesus. They were on fire for the God of heaven. And the Bible tells us there in Acts, let me just turn there so I get this right. It tells us there in Acts chapter 2 that there was there, dwelling at Jerusalem, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Once again, God has His third glory pinnacle where He's getting glory. He has a people on a city, Jerusalem, and their light is on. And everybody is seeing their light. His light. It's a glory pinnacle for God. You know, God still longs today that the Church of Jesus Christ, Zion, Mount Zion, would be that light. Light would be on, like a city on a hill. And the light would be gloriously shining. And He would get the glory. And He would get the honor. And He would be exalted. Now, let me give you no practical points on how to do this. I'm going to take the time and do it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 14. This is not original with me. I'm not sure where I got it, but it has really spoke to my heart. The Bible tells us that Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and Jesus Christ is our life and our light. And I know that Jesus Christ is an endless life like Melchizedek, but what does it really mean as we consider the fact that Jesus Christ is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek? Some things about this man that we don't understand, maybe a bit mysterious. But there's some things about this man Melchizedek that we can understand. If you have Christ in your heart, the life and life of Christ, here this morning, you are a junior priest after the order of Melchizedek. Amen? What does that mean? Let's learn from this man Melchizedek in Genesis 14. Here Abram has just defeated the monarch kings of the world. Of the known world, with 300 of his own men, 318 of his own men, and a great victory. And of course, Abram gets all the spoils of the defeated king. He also brings Lot back. And then verse 17, the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and the kings that were with him in the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. Now, I want you to get the picture here. I'm going to give you some practical things of how you let your light shine. Very practical. Melchizedek is a faithful high priest there in Salem, which is also Jerusalem, I think, if I have my doctrine right. And he's got his busy day planned, and he's doing his things just like we are in our everyday life at home. And then God speaks into his life, says, Melchizedek, I want you to get some bread and wine, and I want you to head out. His schedule was interrupted as God gave him some direction, and off Melchizedek goes with some bread and wine. And it says that he's the priest of the Most High God. And he comes to Abram in verse 19. He blessed him. He met his physical need. You see, Abram is weary. He's just fought a battle, and he's defeated the monarch kings of the world. He could have become the wealthiest man on the earth right here. And he's weary. He's tired. He's exhausted. And Abram could have been tempted to think, you know what? I did this on my own strength. Maybe in some pride. But here comes Melchizedek, and he is letting the light of God shine. He comes and he blesses him. He meets his physical need. Bread and wine. That's right. Jesus did this over and over again. He met their physical need as a means to meet their spiritual need. I really believe this is how we shine our light yet today. When there's physical needs, we need to be there to meet it. First and great commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second commandment is like unto the first one, love thy neighbor as thyself. Which one of us don't meet our physical need? And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, including that we're to let our light shine. Meet the physical need. That's what Melchizedek did. He met his physical need. But he didn't just do that. I believe that the physical meeting of the physical need is a means to speak spiritually into their hearts and lives. This did our Lord Jesus repeatedly again and again and again. He used the physical, meeting the physical need, to minister the spiritual. Thereby, He is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. At least one of the points. But he did more than that. He blessed it, and he said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." Now think about it here. Melchizedek not only meets his physical needs, he drops a seed for God right into the heart of Abraham. He said, "Blessed be the God of heaven, who is the possessor of heaven and earth." He dropped the seed into Abraham's heart. You don't want all that loot of those monarch kings of the world? It's not yours. It's God's. It's God's. It's not yours, Abram. What a beautiful truth. All that you have, it's not yours. Melchizedek brought that right to Abram's heart. And suddenly Abram thought, you know what? That's right. It's not mine. So you see how Melchizedek speaks physically and spiritually into Abram's life. And he blessed the Most High God which had, and then he goes on and says one more. And blessed be the Most High God which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Blessed be the Lord God that has delivered thine enemies into your hand. Abraham, you didn't win the battle. No, Abraham. You have nothing of yourself. God did it for you. You see, Melchizedek met one, the physical, then he spoke two golden nuggets for God right into Abram's life. I believe it saved him from pride. And I believe it saved him from covetousness. Melchizedek was a man of God. Was readily available to shine the light of God. And thus, and yea. Now look at this. Let's look a little further. And then it tells us the king of Sodom said unto Abram. Now it seems like Melchizedek is gone. He's a hidden servant ministry. He's gone. You don't find him again until what is it? It's in the book of Hebrews. And I think it's one of the Psalms. We find him too. That is in Psalm 110 where it talks about the high priesthood of Jesus Christ. He's gone! You don't see for the rest of the Scripture. Just like the Lord Jesus. After He met the physical need, after He met the spiritual need, don't tell anybody. Just a humble, hidden servant ministry. This is the light that Jesus Christ, I would like to suggest to you, suggest that He's speaking to us about. And Abram said, now here comes this king of Sodom, and Abram. And he said, just give me back the persons. Go ahead and take all the loot, but just give me my people back, this defeated king says. Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Where'd Abram get that? Where'd he get it? Where'd he get it, folks? He got it from Melchizedek. It spoke to Abram's need. God watered that seed. It was light for Abraham. And he didn't take any of the loot. None of it. Gave some tithes unto Melchizedek. Folks, that's the light we're talking about. Number one, physical. As you can. Number two, say something spiritually. Drop a seed for God. You see, God can declare that He exists by His heavens, declaring His glory. But He needs a preacher to declare that we're sinners in need of a Savior. He needs a voice. Not good enough just to meet the physical need. Good, but not good enough. The physical need meeting that as Melchizedek is a means unto the spiritual and touching somebody's life. In closing, folks, you begin at home. Let your light shine. The life and light of Jesus Christ. You touch people physically where you can, meeting their physical needs. I've always said the gospel works the best where people are physically needy. The gospel is the least successful where people have no physical needs. Isn't that right? Think about it. Come with me to other parts of the world where people are physically needy. You touch them physically, they open their heart to the gospel of Jesus Christ and their spiritual needs. Begin at home, your own Jerusalem, and you shall receive power through the Holy Ghost. One of the works of the Holy Ghost is to give you power through the connection of knowing the life of Christ to be a witness. You've been with Jesus. You've died with Him. You were buried with Him. You rose again in newness of life. And the life of Christ is the life that you now live. For me to live is Christ. You give them Christ. You begin right at home. And let God build on that. Letting your light shine and watch God build on that. Let's stand. Let's stand. I really believe that when we are filled with the light and the life of Jesus Christ, you don't have to push this thing. You don't have to purpose to do it. It overflows like a river.
I really believe that. It overflows like a river. You know, we really need to get our life filled with Christ. He is like you drink from Him, John 7 says, and out of your belly shall flow a river of life. Brings light and life to men wherever we go. This is God's heart. He is looking for the church yet this morning to be a glory light for Him. Just like He had Jerusalem. Can He count on you? Can He count on me? Father, we thank You this morning for Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Thank You that You've separated the light from the darkness. Thank You that Jesus Christ is the light and life of men. And outside of Him, there is no other life. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the hope of eternal life. Father, I pray that the church of Jesus Christ today would be the light and life of men. Our light would be on a whole church, a city on a hill with its light on, driving back the darkness and unveiling the darkness and the evil deeds of men as the light shines. As we heard a testimony the other evening when one man got born again. When he was unsaved and he came into His presence, he came under conviction when he got angry. Amen. Lord, that's the way it is. Father, I pray that we would be truly the church that has its light on. The light of the gospel. The light of the life of Christ. Shining forth with no darkness at all. Father, I pray that we would be of those that are like Melchizedek. We would touch people physically and spiritually. Not preach a long sermon. Just drop a seed of truth for You. That's how Melchizedek did. And Lord, You watered that seed. And Abram was spared. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, that You called us to be a light and life into the darkness of this world. And You promised that Gentiles, they will come. You promised. Lord, if they're not coming, let us look at our light. Let us search our light. Father, I thank You for Your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I think we're going to give an invitation. I don't know who the chorister, where he's at. Maybe you want to prepare a song. Number one, maybe your life is not Christ. And you realize that this morning God spoke to your heart. And you want to come and repent of that. That you have a single eye. Your life is about Him. Number two, maybe you have darkness. Maybe you have darkness in your life. I don't know. Maybe it's bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. Many sins can be among our people. Number three, maybe you're just saying, God, I want to be that light. Here am I, Lord. Send me. I want to meet the physical need wherever I can. And then just drop that seed for God, pointing people to Jesus. You come quickly. I don't believe in tarrying long. I'm going to get the invitation started. I'm going to sit down. You want to do business with God. Let the Lord meet the need of your heart. Where's our song leader? God bless you.
Is your life filled with the life of Christ? This morning you know where you're at. If the life of Christ is ablaze and your life is on fire and full of light. Go ahead, lead us in another verse, brother.
One way, Lord, have thine own way, earthly and weary, help me, I pray, power of power, sure.
To read one portion of scripture here, and then let's have one more verse, Brother Eric. It says here, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This morning, if your gospel is hid, people that are lost are kept from coming to Christ. The God of this world has blinded their minds, and the life and light of Christ is not being revealed to them. Because your light, there's a bushel over your light. Go ahead, Brother Eric. Amen. God bless all you who have responded. If any of you need private counseling and desire to go into the prayer tent with someone, Brother Lee, why don't you take whoever would desire that into the tent at this time? So follow Brother Lee into the tent. If you desire no private counseling, you can just remain here in prayer. And why don't we just give opportunity yet for a few testimonies. Is there anyone that would like to share a word? You can be seated at this time. Ushers, get the mics, and we'll take time for a few testimonies here yet, either on Brother Emmanuel's message or Brother Raymond's or whatever God is laying on your heart. Anyone, slip your hand up, and the ushers will get a mic to you. Is there anyone?
I'd just like to say praise God for the messages this morning. They went deep to my heart. Something that especially stood out to me, and I just had to think, you know, the illustration was used. Brother Raymond used the illustration there of that tightrope walker and the wheelbarrow. I remember the day when I got into the wheelbarrow.
Amen.
It was a tremendous struggle for me because I had been taught and deeply indoctrinated about this Iaglava, this false belief, and I was always fearful of deception. You know, I would hear about people getting saved, I would hear about people casting their all into the hands of the Lord, but I was afraid somehow they'd go astray. Or if I would do that, somehow I'd be misled. And I saw myself this morning as that was illustrated, that's where I was. I could see people going that way. I believed in what they were doing. I believed that Jesus truly could save us. I believe He did save us. But I was afraid that somehow, I was afraid to just put myself right in that wheelbarrow. Mm-hmm. But I remember the day when I realized that, you know, the one that's pushing the wheelbarrow is in control of gravity. He is in control of the cable. He made the wheelbarrow.
Amen.
He made the balancing rod. He made the ground. He is in control of everything. And no matter what I do, the only place I'm safe is in that wheelbarrow. fully reliant upon Him because He holds everything in His hands.
Amen.
And it was almost like it was a while after I was converted. But it was a turning point in my life where some of those fears of deception just left me, where I could just cast my life fully into the arms of Jesus and say, Lord, I know that's the only safe place to be.
Amen.
No matter what man will tell me. No matter where they say, you'll be deceived here or there.
Amen.
Just cast yourself. And as long as I fully trust in Him and give myself fully into that, I can't be up there rocking the wheelbarrow. I can't be trying to crawl out over the side and get a hold of the cable. I just relax in Him and let Him control. I'll be perfectly safe. And I praise God for that time.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Melvin. You know, the old saying is true. The safest place is the center of God's will. Whether it's in the uttermost part of the earth working with a heathen tribe, where there's poisonous snakes and all kinds of things to work through, the safest place still is the center of God's will. Anyone else? Yes, before we close. All right. Thank you, Brother Raymond. God bless you. You know, I was spoken to this morning in the area of the practical, especially. You know, many times where if I'm on a job site, I'm wanting to get the job done, you know, and looking toward the end of the day and thinking, you know, I have so many hours to work yet. And there's times I know God has convicted me. I have not taken time with an individual who I even see as a needy soul. And the Lord has been working on my heart in that area, and I thank you for those practical ways that you brought out that we can let our light shine. So thank you, Brother Raymond. Thank you, Brother Emmanuel. May the life and light of Jesus Christ be revealed and be manifest to this community, and yea, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Praise God.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.